passion and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, our one podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
Welcome in on this Tuesday, and yes, as of this hour, Jim Harbaugh still has a job at Michigan. We will get to that story in just a few minutes and let you know what could be happening over these next 24 to 48 hours. Let's share with you the latest from ESPN. As it's being reported, the Big Ten informs Michigan it may face disciplinary action. Whatever this means, we'll find out in a few minutes from Adam Rittenberg. Dave Bartu joining us. Hasn't been a while since the Matrix Man has dropped by. Jalen Wright, great running back, and Stinch. I don't know, do you want your nickname to be Stinch? There's something grinchy about that. Welcome to another day. Yes, we have survived somehow. We made it to Tuesday of whatever day this is in November. It's election day. Do you realize a year from today, the presidential election will begin? And probably a year from that day, we'll probably still won't know who the winner is. Anyway, let's just trying to give you a heads up on what is to come in next year's election. We'll talk to all those folks. We'll take your phone calls, of course. But why don't we take some phone calls? I have nothing else planned, so why don't we do that? David is up next in Georgia. Hello, David.
Hey, how y'all doing today?
We are doing well. Thanks for checking in.
Hey, proud to be breathing. But been a Bama fan since Johnny Musso ran the ball there, and
the Italian,
you know,
stallion.
I know he's a true little brother to the Bama, and I think everything he calls in about is a testament to that. But yesterday he called in and he said LSU was beating Bama's ASS.
Yeah.
Now, I guess he didn't realize that Alabama was matching LSU's score for score. I mean, 21-21 at the half, 28-21, maybe they got ahead a little bit, 35-28, and then 42-28. I don't understand how that equates to whipping anybody's butt. And the other thing, if he would just replay himself and listen to him, he would realize, and I don't know anybody's coined this phrase or not, just how Jim-ish he sounds. And he may take that as a compliment. No offense to Jim, but I know Jim takes a lot of flack. But that guy is something else.
You have to understand him, David. I mean, he's a possessed Auburn fan, meaning he has allowed Nick Saban to infiltrate his body. And my understanding of Catholicism is this. He needs an exorcism. And
right.
They only do those at very few places right now. So until we can get a priest, and I'm not hitting down on Catholics. I went to Catholic high school.
I hear what you're saying.
I think I know a priest. He's in another part of the world right now. But until we get that priest, and until we exorcise him of that Nick Saban demon that is infesting his body, he's going to continue on his losing ways.
Yes, sir. Hey, if I can mention one other thing, and I'll let you guys go, but great show. But here's my take. Everybody is saying that Saban benched Milroe for that South Florida game. I think it was totally opposite. I was at that game, and, of course, we played like crap. I think Saban got so sick and tired of us as fans talking about we needed to play Buckner, however he got there, or Simpson. I think he knew that if he put me in, Bama would win that
allow
game.
Allow me to question you on that, because I'm really fascinated by what you said, David. You're not the only one. I have friends, family members saying that. Do you really believe that the greatest coach in college football history is going to listen to a fan or fans in relation to who he is going to play at quarterback?
Well, hey, I'm 68. He's a little older than me. And, you know, when you get reach that age, you do get a little tired. And sometimes you just have to prove yourself.
Okay.
And, of course, he probably didn't do that.
Right. I don't think he did.
But I think it echoed, hey, I'm the coach. I've watched these guys. I'm putting the best on the field that I have. And it turned out to be so true. So, but anyway, yeah, hey.
I appreciate the call. And by the way, he may have done that. That seems to be the new narrative, but it's just hard for me to believe that Nick Saban would do that. You believe it? Susie is up next in Georgia.
Hi, Paul. It's been a while. I've been trying to get on. Whoever I talked to answered the phone. I've been trying to get on for 3 weeks.
Yeah, I'm not sure you've been on since I've seen you last.
Well, I was on to thank you for seeing me, and that was the last time.
By the way, that was a memorable night we had. I mean, the afternoon we had together in Athens.
Yes. Oh, I loved it. Loved it. I'm looking forward to the show today.
Sticking my foot in my mouth.
Yes. Yeah. We won't tell anybody about that night, Paul. But Jalen, I'm looking forward to today's show with Jalen Wright and Matt coming on and hearing about Michigan. I've been walking today. I hadn't heard anything, so I'm anxious to hear that. I just have, I tried to get on yesterday again. Jim and Legend. Jim, you know, I'm so sorry that Jim thinks so highly of himself. I don't think he does. I think he has very low self-esteem. And I'm a little tired of him trying to get confirmation that he's the best caller. I don't really think anyone, well, Cat Daddy's the best. The fans voted that last year, but I think he's jealous of Legend. I think he's very jealous of Legend, and that's why he gets so irate. I don't think he needs an exorcist, Jim, but I think Jim needs, I don't know. I wonder if he ever sat with his preacher and listened to what his preacher listened to how he talks on your show, because I think there'd be some, you know, some things. I've never heard anybody called a moron in the Bible, and that sort of thing. And he was doing really good. He almost like has an Eddie Haskell pill that he takes. Paul, you've had some great conversations with Jim, and then something just something lets loose, and I don't know what it is. But
well, thanks for sharing that, Susie. You be well, and I'll let Jim answer that for himself. How about John next?
It's IEDs, but I'll explain it one other day from now. Hey, it was good to have Jerome back on, back in the house. Paul, I would swear, I love his calls, but he seemed to be talking even faster. I mean, all I heard was, you hear me, Paul Feinbaum, and I don't give a damn, but if we could get Augie to do that imitation, I think it'd be fabulous.
Yeah, I feel badly for Jerome. Jerome has... I think being off the show for 3 years has affected his routine.
Yeah, he was just, it was like the record was speeded up, but I enjoy hearing him. Hey, Paul, there's been a lot of drama, as you know, with Michigan. And I mean, the latest stuff coming out is that authorities are investigating Ryan Day's brother's PI firm for hacking Michigan database. And then now there's a staffer saying a couple Michigan or Big Ten schools were exchanging information on Michigan's call sign. So I think when you had Ira Wasserman on, he said at best, we need to wait for the facts to tell us who knew what and when and how did it affect the games. Obviously, the only facts we have at hand right now is that we have a rogue analyst who was doing some illegal actions. But I've got to ask you this. When we talk about the Big Ten moving so fast, or almost a rush to judgment, should they not be completing a meaningful investigation and consideration of all the facts? It seems like they're just going on whatever suppositions or facts they have, and they're going to make a quick decision. But why not wait?
Well, I think under most normal circumstances, they would wait. I feel like there are so many people in that league who are clamoring for something to happen And I think we are all rushing in on one level to try to figure out what that means. But I think because of Michigan's status with the CFP in terms of where they're going and the importance of Michigan in the Big Ten race, I think that the league feels incumbent upon itself to make a decision very quickly here, at least in the short term. We'll take a break. We will get to the Michigan situation in a moment with Adam Rittenberg.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Back and excited to find out more about the Michigan situation with Adam Rittenberg, who's played a big role in the reporting of the latest. Adam, thank you for joining us. We are trying to figure out exactly what is happening, so we defer to you. The floor is yours. Where are we right now?
Yeah, Paul, we're in a bit of a waiting game. So I reported on Monday that the Big Ten has officially notified Michigan of potential discipline, which is part of the procedure in its sportsmanship policy, which it's following rather than waiting for the NCAA to conclude its investigation. So in the event that the commissioner, Tony Petitti, says that a institution or an individual is likely to face suspension, they are obligated to notify that person or that school and give them a few days to respond. And so that deadline, I'm told, is most likely going to be on Wednesday, and then we could have a decision from the Big Ten side. So Michigan has made it very clear that they don't want any discipline, they don't agree with any discipline at this time, and they likely will pursue legal action if Petitti does discipline them. Now, clearly, what I'm also told is that it will not be a team-related suspension. It would be a Jim Harbaugh-related suspension if the Big Ten does choose to act.
Okay, Adam, help me with a couple of things. I took civics class in 7th or 8th grade. I took some constitutional law in college. But I'm a Southerner. I'm not from the Big Ten, so I don't know what Big Ten bylaw law is all about. So explain, for the commissioner to send out this letter, what must he know at that moment in time to obviously facilitate what he'd ended up doing?
You're right. So the sportsmanship policy is an interesting document, Paul. It's not very long. It's not that specific, but essentially does grant the commissioner of the conference kind of exclusive authority to act when that person has enough evidence either gathered through their own investigation or through other sources that they believe a violation has occurred, to then impose discipline. Now, there's two layers of discipline. There's standard discipline, which goes all the way up to a 2-game suspension and a $10,000 fine. And then there's major discipline, which would require the approval of a small committee of other folks from around the conference. So if Petitti wants to go above 2 games, above 10 grand, he would have to gain approval, which I'm told won't be a problem for him. But again, it's written in a way that you don't necessarily have to wait till the NCAA concludes an investigation. Information can be gathered in different ways or passed along in different ways. You know, obviously, there's been communication between the Big Ten and the NCAA while the NCAA's process is going on, but we both know how long NCAA investigations and infractions enforcements take. So this is the Big Ten's way, potentially, of imposing discipline in a situation that's obviously affected this particular season, they believe, as a conference.
You may not know this, Adam, and it really wouldn't be germane, but I'm just curious. Have other conferences ever been to this precipice where they had to decide something in such a very finite period of time about something this important?
You know, I think there's been some disciplinary issues as far as conduct. There was the infamous Juwan Howard punch of Joe Krabbenhoff, and it was also affected Michigan. That was a Big Ten sportsmanship issue. There's criticizing officials. But this type of nature where you have a NCAA-initiated investigation, NCAA violations, those are still ongoing, and the situation itself, the allegations impacted this season, and you've already seen action by Michigan in suspending Connor Stallions, who's now resigned from his post at the university. So it is a unique situation. I don't know if I can remember something quite like this, where a coach could be facing a suspension from his or her own league in the season in which these these alleged violations have occurred. So it's certainly new territory for Tony Petitti in the Big Ten.
Checking here with Adam Rittenberger, a lot of people are concluding, Adam, that because 13, I believe, of the other coaches came to Petitti and the ADs as well, that means something very significant here. Can you address that? Because there's so much speculation. There's so much dirt being thrown. There's so many accusations of media bias. I'm just trying to sort all this out.
It's interesting. So when this launched, when the Big Ten was notified by the NCAA that it would be investigating Michigan, the Big Ten put out a short statement acknowledging that, but essentially backing away, at least for the time being. Now, they did tell me that they could step in and intervene. They had that power through their sportsmanship policy, but it didn't seem like a likely option. There had been a call with Tony Petitti and the Big Ten athletic directors. Ward Manuel, the Michigan AD, was on that call. I was told that it was somewhat tense, but also cordial. And then you had the calls last week. You had the call with the coaches and another call with the athletic directors, which were much more emotional. And certainly there were more demands placed on Petitti to act. You know, in both of those settings, you know, at least the most emotional part, Jim Harbaugh wasn't on the call, and Ward Manuel, the AD, wasn't on the call. So you can certainly conclude that, you know, those sentiments expressed might have accelerated Petitti's action, his desire to act. But there's obviously been more information that's come out. We know now that Central Michigan and the NCAA are investigating whether an unidentified person on the Central Michigan sideline for their opening game at Michigan State involving a Big Ten team was in fact Connor Stallions. The fact they can't identify that person certainly suggests that it might be. And there's a facial resemblance to Connor Stallions. So there has been more information, Paul, is my point, since the initial acknowledgement that the NCAA was looking into these violations by Michigan.
Some people have suggested that Michigan should not be eligible for the Big Ten championships and the CFP. Based on what you've said, it's highly unlikely that the Big Ten will go down that road with such limited information. Is that a fair statement?
Yes, it is. I've been told that Tony Petitti is not interested in punishing the players for the alleged actions of coaches or staff at Michigan. So I would be stunned. I really don't expect any team-related penalties here. And again, I don't think the Big Ten has concrete evidence that Jim Harbaugh was aware or orchestrating any of these activities, but they do believe that they happen. That part is, they think that there's enough facts that have been presented to them by the NCAA, by media, by other outlets, that they believe that these violations happened and someone has to suffer the consequences. And the way that even the NCAA's penalty structures now, you can have an assistant coach that you have no knowledge what he or she is doing, and as the head coach, you still can face penalties. So I think it's very much along those lines that Michigan, the team, won't be punished, but Jim Harbaugh, the head coach of the team who oversees everything in the program, could be punished even if he was not aware that any of this was going on.
Adam Rittenberger making us all very, very smart, or a lot smarter as a result. Thank you, Adam. Great to talk to you. Adam Rittenberger joining us here at the beginning to tell us more about the situation in Ann Arbor. We'll take a short break, get your reaction, and get the show kicked off right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back, and Jerome is up next.
Hey, listen, man. Hey, look, first of all, let me get this out of the way right here. John called, he's telling me he feels bad. I mean, I talk fast, you know what I'm saying? I'm just going to tell you, quit it fast, Paul. Tell John, damn him. And him and that little smiling-ass picture you got on the damn thing and Kid Rock. You hear me? Now, listen, on to you. Why you feel so sorry for me, Feinbaum?
Well, I just said that you're out of sorts. I mean, you don't come in here with the style and grace that a Jim from Tuscaloosa does. I mean, you're all over the place.
Listen to me, man. You're like
an athlete who's been laid up for a couple of years, and now you're trying to.
Hey, listen to me, man. You can't play me with that damn style foolishness. You hear me? You got damn lame ass John starting the damn show, sitting there, and the rest of these clowns calling in. You don't tell me you're lame? Listen, man, you get a special damn you. You hear me? And then for you to tell me, damn, Michigan, listen, as far as Jim Harbaugh, let me tell you something, this team, man, I vote they leave him alone. You hear me? Let him be, because I don't want to hear that at the end of the year, if, all that if, nothing if. And then, you know, as far as Chief, man, wait a minute, what are you doing down in Central Michigan, Chief, man? What are you trying to spy on? You hear me? He should be fired for wasting damn taxpayer money going down to Central Michigan. You wait, man, what in the world is he doing down there? What, he's scared of Central Michigan? You hear me? I'm going to tell you, this is how it works down here. See, he can bring his mom, his wife, his grandkids, his dog, everything. He ain't got to put on no damn mustache, no mask, no hair. See, they can come down here. They can film all they want to down here, Fabo. You hear me? They can take the damn field back and have a damn picnic. Show it to your damn team. Show it to the whole damn conference. You hear me? Because we don't give a damn. Because we already know y'all ain't finna do nothing when it comes to damn football. Y'all irrelevant. You hear me? But y'all hype them up every damn year talking about what they gonna damn do. Little they can cheat. They can cheat the damn devil. You hear me? But when it comes to that line, baby, it's a wrap. Ain't nothing they gonna do. You hear me? This damn national championship belongs to us, bad boy. You hear me? If you don't know who us means, that means Bama and Jordan. Hear me? The rest of y'all down here in SEC ain't doing that. Y'all hyping them up. You know what? It's a damn wrap in college football, fam. It's over. You hear me? Y'all might want to find y'all damn something else to do. Because when I tell you, it's going to be like damn dosage dough out here, damn passing the damn natties back and forth. Like I tell you, in one other damn thing, you tell Bama hater, I ain't going nowhere. I'm sitting right here sniffing, waiting on it. You hear me? I'm waiting on you to say, ding, he go Bama hater, and I'm going to light his ass up again. Period. Have a good damn day.
Jim is next.
Well, that was interesting and exciting, and you can give all the other labels and titles about it. But you know, I went on the Twitter last night after he made his call last night, and you know, we used to be pretty good friends, and I used to talk about he got a beautiful little daughter, sweet as she can be, looks just precious looking little daughter. I used to tell him that all the time, and he thanked me, but she really is cute as she can be. And I went on there, and I saw her picture. And then, you know what I saw after that, Paul? You're blocked, Jim. You're blocked from Jerome's account.
He blocked you.
He blocked. Well, yeah, you know, I gave him a little bit of a – I said something about something, how he said stuff about a couple of months ago, maybe a year ago, you know, when he was gone. And I didn't notice I was blocked. I went back and checked it about 3 months ago, and I wasn't blocked. So evidently he blocked me within the last – recently, and that's all right, but you know, all I did was I blocked him. You know that? I'm a reaction,
you
so he blocked
him.
We blocked.
Because he blocked you.
Well, certainly. That's, you know, hey, Trump reactor here, nobody understands. But let me go on to better things and bigger things and bigger fish to fry. All right, timing, you know, Paul, timing, sometimes timing is everything or it's nothing. In my life on this show, it's uncanny how things in timing come up with me on the show. I turn on the show in my car, going to get a shake down at the What's a Burger, which got a great shake down there. Mm-hmm. I'll give them an advertisement if you let me, a white raspberry shake, they're delicious. So I go headed down there, just happen to turn the radio on, and there is Miss Susie Q-Tip. And she's saying something about Jim this, Jim, and you said, well, we'll just have to wait and see if Jim wants to respond. So I said, okay, I know I'll respond. You got to tell me what she said. But also, behind that, I hear the Nutty Professor. I don't think you have any trouble knowing what I'm talking about, do you?
No, not at all.
Okay. Well, Danny Brams didn't understand it. He said, yeah, that's a perfect name for that guy. So what is Roosevelt? Interpret this for me, Paul. You know, I didn't get a college education. I got two-thirds of the way, but I didn't graduate, and like many others didn't. Like Clemens Wilson's, and I knew his... We knew his family. But anyway, you know, he didn't graduate from high school and is the creator and inventor and millionaire, multimillionaire Holiday Inn guy. You know that.
I know. I mean, the first Holiday Inn came up.
Isn't he out of Memphis?
Yes, sir.
That's what I thought. Sir is not, is my daddy, Paul. So anyway, what is the Louisville John talking about? He said IEDs on about me. What was it? What's that mean, Paul?
Yeah, he said IEDs.
What does that mean? That's what he said. He said
Susie
called.
IED in the parlance of war is an improvised explosive device.
Well, he made some comment about me saying IEDs, talking about, I guess, my calls.
I guess that meant that, they were like explosives.
Well, maybe that, I don't
know. IEDs,
but he
are
was
the just, kind of things when you're in war, you try to. I mean, you send the machinery out to identify them so people so that you don't they don't.
I don't know what he. I thought you'd know because that's exactly what he came on right after Susie Q-tip, and that's what he said about me. I'm assuming he was talking about me because the question that you know that she made was about me.
That is correct.
Well, anyway, that's all I was trying to get to. By the way, Paul.
Hey, by the way, Jim, I'm hungry. Tell me more about those shakes.
I'm telling you, I've got it sitting right in the car. I hadn't opened it yet. They are. It's white chocolate raspberry, and it is delicious.
And what's the name of the place?
Whataburger. They're world renowned. Whataburger. They got great, okay. great hamburgers.
Oh, okay. Well, next.
And time. Great shake. But Paul, I got to ask you. Tell me you don't believe with all my. Listen, we got Cam Newton version of a quarterback right now at the University of Alabama, and I don't want anybody to argue about that because it's true. I saw some plays he made the other night that were absolutely better. I said better than Cam Newton, at least as good. He made a – you know that pass play he made over the line? He was corralled. Five or six LSU guys were all around him, and he had flipped the ball about 15 yards. I think it was whoever number two. And he ran about 45 or 50 yards and caused a touchdown. That's one of the greatest plays I've ever seen in my life. Milroe is fun. He's a Heisman Trophy candidate, Paul. No doubt about it.
Well, he has a shot at getting in there, and that would be one of the craziest things in the world.
Yeah, because after less than 2 months ago, he looked like a yo-yo.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now he looks like the best. I think right now, and if he keeps him, we got to expect him to keep improving by the next three or four games. I don't see how anybody could not put him at the top of the list.
Jim, hold on 1 second here, because this guy needed to.
Hey Jim, what'd you say about me now? About me blocking you?
Well, I said I was blocked on your account, Jerome.
You damn right you blocked from my account. You want me to explain why you blocked from my account?
No, I don't want to hear the guy anymore, Paul. Get him off.
I know you don't want to hear.
Get him off, Paul.
You get
Paul.
Get on somewhere. You hear me?
Well, get out of here.
You
get out of here, William Mount Boy.
You in the damn office. You ran around.
Get out. You damn you, boy. Damn you, Jerome. Damn you, Jerome. Damn you, Jerome. Damn you, Jerome. Shut up. Get him out, Paul. I'm hanging up.
Damn you. Hang up.
Damn you!
You fake, Jim. You a fake man. You a clown. You hear me? Like I told you the first time, when your damn daddy was in the office, you had a lot to say. You hear me? A lot to damn say. Then you gonna holler at me like I'm your damn friend? Man, damn you and your damn buddies. You were talking all that damn foolishness with. I ain't with it. Take that shit on some damn well.
Okay, we're back after this. Much more. You never let a good thing go too long, because then it's not a good thing.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Welcome back as we continue. Asa is up next. Good afternoon. Asa, good afternoon.
Oh, good afternoon. How bad?
Hey there.
Yes. I'd like to talk about Dallas Turner. I don't think he's a dirty hit. And me and my dad were going over it about close to 100 times last night in slow motion. He paused it. It was not targeting. It was not roughing the passer. And if you can't hit the QB like that, this isn't football.
Well, I talked to a friend of mine today who's in the middle of the game, and he said what concerned him, Asa, was that what Dallas Turner did has been called targeting by SEC officials all season. Now, I agree with you. I didn't think it was targeting, but I think there's a varied disagreement on this. And I want you to go through what you and your dad saw in slow motion. At what point did it become clear to you that it wasn't targeting?
Well, I didn't think it was targeting. I was watching the game. I didn't ever think it was targeting.
Now, Asa, how old are you?
12.
And you and your dad are fans of which school?
Alabama.
Well, thank you for your very objective analysis of that. Thank you very much. Dwayne is up next.
Hey, man, that man put all his weight and drove that man down to the ground, man. That man put his weight on that man, man. Come on now, Paul Feinbaum. Be for real with it, all right? You know what that man did. Hey, Paul Feinbaum. Hello?
Yeah, I'm waiting, Dwayne. I don't know what else to do.
Hey, check this out, Paul Feinbaum. USC fired their defensive coordinator. Lincoln Riley fired his man right after the game. He got rid of him. Huh?
Well, is that going to make you feel better that somebody loses their job?
Why not? People lose their job every day. They don't do their job, right?
I know what you're talking about. But
people lose their job every day.
Point being,
if you don't do your job, right?
Do you not trust Brian Kelly to make a determination at the end of the year, which he told us yesterday he would do?
Hey, he might be waiting. Yeah, he might be waiting. I'll give you that. He might be waiting to the end of the year. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'm pulling for Alabama to beat Georgia. You know what I'm saying? The West. I want the West to go out because I'm a West man. All right? I want Alabama to beat Georgia.
It sounds like you're feeling better. It sounds like you've gotten over your whipping and are moving on. It's like
you got over your third
behind the woodshed beat down of the year.
You're learning,
Dwayne, as an LSU man, just to accept losing to Alabama every year.
No, can't say that. Because with Nick Saban leave out of that, they got nobody to replace Nick Saban, and they can't recruit like Nick Saban. You know what I'm saying? And nobody gonna go in there and recruit like Nick Saban do. All right. So with Nick Saban, when Nick Saban leaves, whole dynasty over there gonna go down.
I agree with you. After Saban left LSU, two other guys that together probably couldn't get a job, pumping gas, won national championships at LSU.
They couldn't get no job.
Well, I'm just trying to say between Les Miles and Ed Ogeron, neither one couldn't get a job right now. And they both won national championships at LSU. Alabama will win national championships after Nick Saban.
I don't understand what you're saying, Paul Feinbaum, but look, when Les Miles took over, that was Nick Saban's player.
Well,
all right.
You're right, but in 2011,
that was Nick Saban's player when he recruited.
In 11, when he played for another title, after winning the SEC, those were not Nick Saban players. Those were his players.
When Ed Ogeron won his, that's his players. He recruited, and some players left from Nick for Les Miles.
And Ogeron had a couple of Les Miles players, but he did it himself.
Yeah, but you know what I'm saying? But Brian Kelly.
All I'm saying to you, Dwayne, after Nick Saban leaves, Alabama is still going to be your daddy.
They're garbage. Nobody, they have owned
LSU and
they're going to be garbage. Hey, no, you can't say that.
Nick Saban lost to Alabama
what
in 2002.
When Don Shula's son was at Alabama, what his name was?
Are you kidding me?
When Don Shula's son was there, what his name is? But Don Shula's son with the, huh?
Alabama's always dominated LSU.
But Don Shula's son was there. LSU whooped the mess out of him. You know what I'm talking about.
3-point game, I thought.
Right, that was a 3-point game, man. But look, let me tell you something. I'm about to let you go. Hey, when Nick Saban leave Alabama, they ain't going to be recruiting like that no more. Nick Saban, nobody else in Alabama ain't going to recruit like he can recruit, all right? So that's going to be a dead issue there. They're going to be dead.
Do you know how many national championships Alabama has won before Nick
Saban? That don't mean nothing. Look at Miami. Miami won. They still can't recruit. You know what I'm saying? Look at Miami Hurricanes. Huh? Hello?
Dwayne, repeat after me.
What?
Alabama. Is. My. Daddy.
Hey, don't mind my daddy. Hey, my daddy. Hey, I give him credit, all right? Hey, I give credit. I give that man credit of Nick Saban going in your living room. Hey, look, let me tell you one thing. When you said something the other day, I've been telling you about Jimbo Fisher. They about to run Jimbo Fisher out of Texas A&M. Told you that already. Been told you. Bye.
Okay, Dwayne, call me back when you get a life. Bacon is up next in Missouri. Hello, Bacon.
Hey, Paul. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thank you. I just wanted to say that Seth Emerson was right. Missouri's not holding their head down on this. They all think they did great. And, yeah, Georgia won, but Mizzou, you know, threw an interception right there at the last. Turned the ball over when they could have won the game. Same as LSU. You know, I still think they only got beat by 3 points on both games. but that's all I was wanting to commend him for saying, bringing that out, because people do think that. And when I talked to you last year, I asked you about Missouri, and you said Missouri was going to be okay. And they are. They're coming around. And as far as Michigan, Michigan deserves what they get. The players there knew about it because their defensive coordinators, they was telling them the plays. They was telling them, showing them, this is what we got. They knew. And whatever they get's whatever they get, you know. SMU got the death penalty, you remember that. And they just need to be vacated on a lot of things this year. But that's all I was wanting to say, and I thank you for having me on the show.
Well, thank you very much. We'll take a short break. Are we only 1 hour down? Seems like we've been here a while. We have a long way to go. We hope you'll stick around.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.